Take your Bibles, if you would, tonight. 1 John chapter 2. We're going to start in verse 9. We'll see how far we can get in the time that we have left. You remember two purposes for this epistle. One, to know that we're saved. We can know that we have eternal life. And then that our joy be full. And John's writing this book, and he's giving us some indicators or signs that basically we can look at and say, if these things are in our life, it's a pretty good bet. I shouldn't say that. It's a pretty good indication. It's a pretty good indication that we're saved. And the more we have them in our life, the more our joy will be full. And the first couple of weeks, we basically talked about the same thing. The first week, we talked about walking in the light, and which means walking in the instruction that God has given us. And then last week, we talked about keeping his commandments. Basically the same concept, doing what God says, living our life in the way that God prescribes. Now, the rest of the things we're going to talk about in the book fit under that general heading, so to speak. They fit under that category of doing what God says. For example, we're going to talk about tonight about loving the brethren, loving our fellow Christians. It falls under the category of doing what God says, but the apostle is going to get very specific and say, now listen, this is another sign, this is another indicator that if you say you're walking in the light and don't love the brethren, you need to look. You need to go back and make sure that you're saved, because somebody that's saved is going to love the brethren, love fellow Christians. So look at chapter 2, verse 9. He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even unto now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness, and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. So again, negative, positive, negative. The negative, if somebody says, I'm in the light, I'm saved, I belong to God, and yet doesn't love the brethren, hates the brethren, again, fellow Christians, our brothers and sisters in Christ. And again, let's talk about love and hate for a minute. I mean, you can't really, and that word hate is it implies not a single act, but a continual lifestyle of hate. And to understand hate, you got to go back and understand love. And again, I'm going to be quick tonight because of time. Love is an emotion? Yes. Love is a feeling? Yes. But more than anything else, and the way God defines it, love is an action. It is putting aside your needs to meet the needs of somebody else. And it's like faith. The Bible says, faith without works is dead. Love without actions is dead. And the best collection of love actions are found in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. These love actions are not defined by man, they are defined by God. He said, you want to know what love is? Then look for people that have these actions, that do these things in their life. And again, we won't take long to talk about them, but let me just mention them to you. You don't need to turn to your Bibles. You'll remember most of them as I mention them. It uses the word charity, but in the Bible, but it actually means love. Suffereth long, is kind, envieth not, vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemingly, seeketh not her own, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, rejoiceth in truth, but beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things, and never faileth. Now all of those are actions. All of those are things that if we look, we can see. And so what the apostle is saying, if you say you walk in light and you don't exhibit these actions toward other Christians, toward your brothers and sisters in Christ, then you need to go back and you need to make sure of your salvation experience, because if you don't do these things, if you don't love the brethren, you're probably still walking in darkness, which is John's way of saying you're probably not saved. But then he goes on in verse 10 and says, but if you do these things to your brothers, you are abiding in the light, And there is none occasion of stumbling in him. Now, what that phrase means, none occasion of stumbling in him, is that if we love our brethren, one of the things we'll make sure that we don't do is become a stumbling block to somebody else. That we will not cause them to fall away from Christ. That we will not cause them to fall into sin. That we will be a helper or an encourager to keep them on the straight and narrow way, to keep them growing in their relationship with Christ, to helping them become more mature. That's why the Hebrew writer says in chapter 10, let us consider one another to provoke or stir up unto love and good works. So the Apostle John is saying, if we love the brethren, one of the things that we're going to do is we're going to make sure that we never do anything that would cause them to fall. Rather, we're going to encourage them, we're going to cajole them, we're going to use whatever influence we have to get them to get closer to Christ, to get them to love Jesus more, to get them to walk in his commandments more than they are. And then verse 11, it goes back to the negative, but he that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness, knoweth not whither he goeth, because the darkness had blinded his eyes. Again, just think what it is to walk in darkness. I mean, physically walk in darkness. I'm not talking about walking at night when you have a little night light shining over here or where the street light's shining through the window. I'm talking about walking in complete darkness where there is no light. It's like being blind. I mean, if you're walking in complete darkness, it's like being up in God's country, right, Brother Gary, where there ain't no streets lights. When it gets dark, it's dark. But if you're walking in darkness, you don't know where you've been, you don't know where you are, and you don't know where you're going because you can't see. And somebody that says that they're walking in light but don't love the brethren, don't love fellow Christians, is really walking around like a blind man, not knowing where they are, not knowing where they've been, not knowing where they're going. They're just aimlessly wandering. And we talked a little bit about this Sunday in Sunday school, like a sheep that's gone astray. The light of the world is Jesus. If we're walking in the light, we're walking in him. And if we're walking in him, we know where we've been. We were a sinner headed toward hell. He saved us. We know where we are. We're walking in the strength of the Holy Spirit, the strength of Christ by which we can do anything. And we know where we're going. We're on our way to heaven. And we're on our way to be with him forever and ever and ever. So, another test of whether we are saved or not, another indicator of whether we're saved or not, are we exhibiting the actions of love as spelled out in 1 Corinthians? And I'm sure there's others you might be able to add to it, although I think God put together a pretty comprehensive list. I mean, I think we could work on 1 Corinthians, most of us, the rest of our lives and still not achieve them all. But are we exhibiting those characteristics toward our brothers and sisters in Christ? If we're not, we're probably not saved. And if we are, it's a good indication that we are, and the more that we do it, the fuller our joy. The fuller our joy. That's why John's writing. So you can know you're saved, and your joy will be full. The more of these things you have in your life, the fuller your joy. All right, look at verse 12 through 14. I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his namesakes. I write unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because ye have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because ye have known the Father. I have written unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because ye are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one. All right, so he's writing to three groups of people: little children, fathers, and young. This is not the ages, physical ages, chronological ages of these people. These three terms describe different levels of Christian maturity. The children are young Christians, just got saved, just learning what the commands of God are, just learning how God wants us to live our life, just starting to put those into practice, just starting to put God to the test and see if his promises are really true. The fathers are the mature Christians. And again, I want to make sure you understand, John does not equate years of being saved with maturity. There are people that have been saved a lot of years that haven't matured very much and would still fit under John's category of children. There are people that have been saved only a little while but have matured rapidly and would probably be in the young men category, even though they might have only been saved for, you know, a short period of time. So it's not how long you've been saved that makes you a child or young or a father, but it's your Christian maturity, how much you have grown. So again, the children are those just getting started, just having been saved, just learning to walk with the Lord, just learning to trust him, just beginning to lean on his word. The fathers are those that have proved God over and over and over and over again. They can stand and testify that the promises of God is true, that he keeps every one of them, that you can put him to the test as he invites us to do, and he will prove himself over and over and over and over again. And then, and he talks to them in that order, the young, then the fathers, and then those in the middle. The children, the fathers, and then the young, those that are in the middle. They've already started down the path of Christian maturity, and so they've moved away from the starting line, so to speak, but they're not as close to the finish line as the fathers are. They're somewhere in the middle of their Christian maturity. And here's what the apostle is saying. Listen, all of you, the children, the young, and the fathers, need to hear what I'm saying. I'm not just teaching this to the children. I'm not just teaching this to the young. They need to hear it, but so do the fathers. You know, we never get mature enough that we can't learn anything else about what God wants. You could be a very mature Christian tonight, but the fact that you're still here means God's not done with you. And the fact that he's not done with you means that he probably wants you to mature and get closer to him and do something for him. And so John's saying, hey, I'm writing to all of you because all of you need it. But I want you to notice what he says to these three groups. He says to the little children a couple of things. Your sins have been forgiven you for his namesakes, and ye have known the Father. What he's reminding the children is, hey, your relationship with Jesus Christ, which resulted in your being forgiven of your sins, which resulted in you knowing the Father, that's the basis. That's the basis that you need to build on to grow in your Christian life. Now again, he's writing all three, and the young need to hear this, and the fathers need to hear this. No matter how mature you are as a Christian, you need to remember that your relationship with God was based on what Jesus did for you, and what he did for you resulted in you being forgiven of your sins and getting to know the Father. It's like Brother Darrell said when I was asking him, what are you not sure of? You're not sure of your salvation? He said, oh no, I know that I'm saved, not for anything that I've done, that's what he said, but for what Jesus did for me. And regardless of how mature we are as a Christian, where we are along the road, our path, or the race that Paul talks about, regardless of how far along, we always need to remember that the basis of everything that we are is our relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Our sins were forgiven through his name. And we got to know the Father. That barrier that existed between us and God the Father, that barrier of sin was broken down and our sins were forgiven through Jesus Christ. And then he says to the fathers, he says, two times, you have known him from the beginning. And what he's saying is, hey, you've matured in your Christian life. You know that God keeps his promises. You know that he can be trusted. You've been tested. You've been tried. And what he's saying is, the God of the beginning, you've known him from the beginning, is also the God of the end. He's the Alpha and Omega. He's what we need all the way through. And he says to the young, he says a couple things to the young. He says, you've overcome the wicked one. You're strong. The word of God abideth in you. And again, he says, you've overcome the wicked one. What he's saying to the young, he says, hey, you're the main ones in the fight. Yeah, the children are there and the fathers are there, but the young ones, the ones in the middle, you're the main ones in the fight. You're responsible for the fight. He said, I remind you, your strength comes from Christ. We can do all things through Christ with strength in us. The word of God is your weapon. It's a sharp, two-edged sword. And you overcome the wicked one through the strength that we have in Christ Jesus using the word of God. And so, again, what he's saying to all three groups, and again, all of us tonight fit in one of those three groups. John says, all of you need to hear it. You need to know that you need to love your fellow Christians. You need to love the brethren. All right, let me just see if I can do the last three verses, 15 through 17. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. So, he says, here's what the apostle is saying. If you are going to have love for others, love for your brothers and sisters in Christ, that love comes from God. The Bible says God is love, and that we're to love others because he loved us. What he's saying is, you will not find that love in the world. If you love the world and the things of the world, the love of the Father's not in you, and if the love of the Father's not in you, then you can't love your fellow believers. You just can't. In fact, when it spells out there the things in the world, you know, it says the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. It's talking about, you know, the lust of the flesh is wanting what we want, wanting what, you know, to fulfill our fleshly desires, satisfying ourselves. The lust of the eyes is greed, just looking and seeing what other people have and say, well, I want that too. And then the last one, the pride of life, is pride. If those three things are in our life, it's going to be hard to love other people. I mean, if we're all about satisfying ourselves, if we're all about wanting what other people have, if we're all about building ourselves up, it's going to be hard to love other people. In fact, the apostle says it's impossible. If you love the world and the things of the world, the love of the Father's not in you. And if the love of the Father's not in you, you can't love the brethren. If you don't love the brethren, you're probably not saved. He says, all this stuff of the world is going to pass away. It's going to pass away. 100 years from now, what people of the world think is important is not going to matter anything to them. Because, you know, they're going to be dead, and the things that they've spent their lives collecting is going to be dust. They're not going to last. But that last part of that verse, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. He that obeys God, he that follows the commands of God, he that does what God tells him to do, he that lives his life the way that God tells him to live it. Again, a good sign that he's saved. And if somebody's saved, they're going to abide forever. This world's going to pass away, but this world's not our home. We're just passing through. Our treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. And one of these days, we're going to be beckoned to that place. I can't remember who I was talking. I think it was Don on Sunday. We were talking about, next thing we're going to hear is, come up hither. The trumpet's going to blow. The dead in Christ are going to rise first, and then we which are alive are going to remain are going to be caught up together in the air to be with the Lord, and forever, 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 we're going to be with him. So tonight, as we walk away, we need to ask ourselves, am I exhibiting the love actions that are in 1 Corinthians 13? Am I exhibiting, am I practicing, am I putting into place those actions when it comes to my brothers and sisters in Christ? again, a good indication that we're saved if we are. And the more we do it, the more joy that we'll have in our life. I'm sorry I kept you a little bit, but you guys, too many testimonies. What do you think this is, prayer meeting or what? But anyhow, so I'm sorry I kept you 5 minutes late tonight. Let's stand and let's have a word of prayer, and we'll be dismissed.